Hello and welcome. Thousands of families across India are dealing with bereavement. Thousands have been scarred with the horror of seeing someone they love pass away in front of their eyes without being able to even reach out and hug them close in their last moments. Many will be grappling with a recurring nightmare, the trauma of knowing that your loved one died alone in a hospital with no presence of family to provide some solace, to say last goodbyes. Perhaps with only a nurse behind an impenetrable PPE suit as a caregiver around. Apart from this inherent viciousness of this virus, there's the incompetence of our governments and our planners that has led to a situation where our cremation grounds are overflowing, where bodies are rotting on riverbanks, being torn apart by dogs and crows. This week, in the wake of complaints about several bodies found floating in the Ganga, the National Human Rights Commission on Friday issued an advisory to the centre and to states, asking them to protect the dignity and rights of the dead. And today the centre simply directed the states to prevent the dumping of dead bodies in the Ganga River. The centre declared it was directing the states to ensure the dignified last rights of COVID victims. So who is responsible? How did we get here? Can anyone be held accountable, or is this a moral failure of we, the people of India? Joining us on the show tonight are people who have suffered emotionally, who've lost a loved one in brutal ways, in ways that nobody deserves. They've come on the show to bear and relive their pain in the hope that nobody else will have to endure what they have. We thank them for their time, first and foremost. I want to first go across to Amit Kapoor. He's someone who has lost three family members, and including an uncle you were extremely close to. You've written a heart-wrenching piece talking about having to grieve without being able to be with loved ones. Could you share your experience with us?
You know, like, this is one of the most traumatic things that I've endured. Like, I am about 48 years and I've seen my grandparents pass away and things. But this has been a time when, for the first time, I felt that I was not able to talk to him, because once he went into the hospital, there was just no way to get in touch with him, to meet him. In fact, none of the family members was able to meet him when he was in his senses. In fact, once he actually got into a critical situation, we were just not able to talk to him, and we were just getting news in a very trickling way.
Amit, I'm so sorry. Amit, I'm interrupting you. Unfortunately, we're not being able to hear you very clearly. Can I just ask you to log off and log back on? Because I want to hear your story about what happened. Let me go across then to Asim, who is actually a former colleague of ours here at NDTV. He is a journalist. Asim, you wrote a post saying that you've not been able to sleep since the death of your brother-in-law. And it's not the death that affected you as much as the indignity, the humiliation of a human having to go through his last hours like this. Asim, you're one of thousands of Indians who have struggled to find life-giving oxygen for your COVID patient. But you said in your post that the indignation doesn't end with death. Could you share what you meant?
Yeah, thank you, Sarah, for having me. It's tough to keep on recounting what we went through on that horrible day. But yeah, it's not just my tragedy. It's a tragedy of the whole country. There are lakhs and lakhs of people who've gone through the most horrid things, seeing their loved ones die in the most brutal and inhumane manner, right? So what I meant when I said that indignation doesn't end with death is, first you see your loved one die on the floor of a hospital, right, gasping for breath, and there's no one around to check on him and help you, and you run around the hospital corridors, and first you run around from hospital to hospital to find a bed or to find a doctor who could check on your dear one. Then when the person is dead, I mean, there's no one who would come forward to help you lift the body, to put it in the ambulance. And I don't blame people around. Obviously, they're scared. There's always a risk of infection. And the hospital tells you that since he wasn't our patient, he wasn't admitted here, so we can't provide you a hearse van or an ambulance to take the body back. So that whole experience is really traumatic. And when someone dies, what least you can do to a loved one is to do a proper send-off, right? And it's not the last memory of someone so close to you that you want to live with. That is that he's lying there dead on the floor of the hospital, and you are literally dragging the body out of the hospital. So that's not the last image you want to spend your life with after losing someone close. So it's really horrible and difficult to put in words.
Thank you for trying. I know you said that you understand why people didn't come across to help you in that hospital. You say that, they didn't know your brother-in-law, they didn't know you, you were complete strangers, so they were scared. But just stay on the line, Asim. Let's go across to Irtaza Qureshi, who on the night of the 26th of April received an SOS alert from one of the COVID help WhatsApp groups saying, "Urgent, a family in Burari needs help. Nobody is stepping up to help the son cremate his dead parents." Lakshman Tiwari is a resident of Burari. He was at home quarantining with his four-year-old son and his parents. COVID had hit the entire family. His wife had been hospitalized, and he was at home with this four-year-old child and his parents. On the night of April 26, his mother started struggling for breath. One by one, his father and his mother died. But that's when the horror began. Irtaza, you're a COVID volunteer. You rushed out to help Lakshman. The cremation ground, I'm told, was just less than 4 kilometers from Lakshman's house, but it took you 2 days to get these last rites conducted. Why? What happened?
Sara, it was in the morning, about 3 a.m. in the morning, that I received a message in one of the WhatsApp groups. Somebody by the name Sheikh Jilani had shared that message. So I was awake by chance because it's a month of Ramadan and we generally stay awake till morning. So I called that number and I spoke with Mr. Lakshman Tiwari and I asked him if he has already received any help because such messages generally get viral in a fraction of time. So he said no, there has been no help till now, and he asked me to hurry up. So I rushed to his place. I drove to his place in Burari, and I went to his house, and he was standing in his balcony on the first floor, and he had almost lost his senses because the way he was talking to me, it was as if it was my duty to come over there, and he asked me that, "Why have you taken so much time? Just do something, hurry up. The bodies are decomposing." As if he was expecting that you are supposed to help me at this time. You are supposed to come over there. So I told him, "Okay, I'll bring some help. Just give me some time." And I went out and I went to the Burari police station. And to be very honest, when I was entering that police station, I thought that this is the only thing that I'll have to do tonight. I'll just go there, inform them that there are 2 bodies decomposing in your locality, and just help them out. I thought that this is the only step that I would have to take on that day. And to my surprise, the first shock that came to me was that the policeman who came outside, he asked me to wait for about 15 minutes. Tiwari ji was calling me again and again to hurry up. And this policeman said that, we are helpless and there are no ambulance that we know of. You do one thing, you call 102 or 112. I said, "Okay, I'll give them a call, but would you talk to them? Like, if a policeman speaks to the authorities, it will have a better impact." He said, "No, you just call them up and they'll help you out." So I
I
called.
just, sorry to interrupt, I wanted to say those visuals are of Mr. Tiwari on his balcony. So he kept pleading for help, and you can see those homes so close to each other, but no neighbors came to help them. So you had a complete stranger who had to help. There's a four-year-old child with a COVID-positive father, the bodies of his grandparents in that home, decaying in front of this four-year-old's eyes, decomposing bodies, possibly also injurious to the health of both the father and the son. So you found ambulance agents in the end, but they too, they were charging. What were they charging?
No, first when I called 102 and 112, which are the helpline numbers, Sarah, these are the numbers which are taught to us when we are in school. that at time of emergency, call 112, remember these numbers. We used to make posters in school that police phone number is 100, ambulance is 102. So these are the numbers which are taught to us that at time of emergency, just call them up and you'll receive help. I called them up, I told them the situation. They said that we do not transfer dead bodies. We only transfer patients who are alive from one place to another. I said, okay, then give me a number of the transport of the ambulance that transport dead bodies. They said, do one thing, call Just Dial. They'll give you the number. So this is the response I got from a national state. I don't know if it's a central or the state phone number. And they just told me that call Just Dial. I said, okay, I called Just Dial. They gave me about 10 numbers. I started calling them one by one. And most of them did not receive the phone. One of them received, and he said that we'll charge you 8,000 rupees, but the driver would come. He would not come out of his seat. You will have to pick up the bodies, put them in the ambulance. He'll drop you to the cremation ground, which is like 4 kilometers from the place, and he'll charge you 8,000, but he will not touch the bodies at all.
You would have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Tiwari couldn't leave the house.
This is the offer that he gave. So I said, because the bodies were decomposing, to be very, very honest, if the bodies were fresh, we would have done it on our own.
Mm.
But the bodies had decomposed. It was almost 14 hours. So I went to the police station again, and I told the policeman, sir, please help us. Still, we are unable to do anything. The Just Dial number was not of any help. And the policeman told me that go to the cremation ground. You'll receive some help over there.
So basically, you're on your own. Everybody's on their own. Everybody's in their own little personal nightmare that just will be with you for the rest of your lives. Amit Kapoor is back on. Hold on. Let me just try and get Amit back on. He's also the chair of the Institute for Competitiveness in India, visiting scholar at Stanford University. Amit, sorry, we cut you off there. You lost 3 family members, including an uncle. In this, when you hear this story, no neighbor coming forward to help, knowing that there's a 4-year-old child at home, the decaying corpses of his grandparents, watching his father begging and pleading for help. 2 neighbors that they now have to live with for the rest of their lives. What does this say about us as a society? How do you process grief like you've had to? How do you process grief when death comes this way?
You know, like, this is very unfortunate as to what we are really seeing in the country. In fact, this really pushes forward that there is a huge moral failure that is actually happening around us. And when you talk about moral failure, it is about how neighbors are treating you or how your family members would be treating you or how the dignity actually is there in death. In fact, for me, the most horrifying thing was that we were not able to talk to my uncle for many, many days. In fact, he was in hospital, and we just were not able to say the final goodbyes as well. In fact, we were not able to come together as a family. So it was just a very lonesome journey for each one of us who were just sitting in their homes and just grieving. And, you know, like, that whole grieving is just not happening because you're not able to cry on each other's shoulder. You're not able to hug each other. But what we are seeing is a complete moral failure for a simple reason, that we are not helping. Many of them are not helping. There are people who are helping, but there are many who are just trying to run away from this whole situation. I think we have to really learn from it as a collective. This also raises a very important question that I see as to what is it that we want to be known as a country, whether we are really going to be responsible as a collective or not. Should we really start thinking as to what we want to be as humanity per se? We talk about many things. We talk about God and everything. But we are not at all God-fearing, or we are not really even imbibing those principles at all. In fact, how do I really imbibe those principles? Can't we really ask our leaders as to what is it that we want? Can't we really elect the set of people who are really going to say that we are going to make a new India, a greater India? This is a catastrophe which has to be sowing the seeds for a new India. It just cannot be something which is we can just let go. We cannot really be relegated into the history books in the next 20 years thinking that we are a failed generation, because this is what we are really seeing right now.
There's going to be a generation coming out of this that is going to have to live with these memories, that's going to have to live with these values that they have seen and that they have experienced. Asim, I want to ask you quickly before I let you go. You're a journalist. You've had decades of experience. You've been in a news editor in some of the best newsrooms in the country. You've overseen coverage of many tragedies. So you've been both sides. According to the law, or according to, you know, the government, it is the duty of the state, let's say the government, to protect the rights of the diseased. to prevent crime over a dead body. But given the scale of this pandemic, is that unrealistic to expect more right now? You've seen both sides.
In a way, it is. In a way, it is, because obviously the system is overwhelmed. And there's a backstory to it. Why is it happening? And there's a political failure to it as well. But yeah, somewhere there's also a moral question that comes in. Because when at a time when people are going through immense amount of grief, there's a money-making business that is happening around. Like the speaker before me talked about the ambulance guy charging him 8,000 rupees. I paid 2,500 rupees for a 2-kilometer ride. And again, the ambulance guy told me that I won't touch the body, you will have to manage it on its own. So me and my cousin, we had to kind of take care of the body and do it somehow. There were two cops sitting in that emergency room. I asked them for help, but they didn't move. So, I mean, there is also a moral question to it. I mean, it's very difficult to explain. I mean, we have to understand that people are obviously scared of infection. Right.
Yet there are people who come forward and help, who started working to provide aid to people like you, who, and in the time of grief, have to try and figure out, you know, how to get the body of their loved ones cremated or buried. Joining us now from Varanasi, the Prime Minister's constituency, is Mr. Vishambhanath Mishra. He's a professor and head of the Department of Electronics and Engineering at IIT at BHU. He's also the Mahant of the Sankat Mochan Mandir. So, you know, there's a saying that shav hi shiv hai. You've worked on the Ganga rejuvenation a lot with the government. What goes through your mind when you see these images of bloated bodies floating in the Ganga?
See, let me tell you, it is very disturbing when we see floating body. Even today morning, while I was doing my morning prayer in the river, one body was simply flowing away downstream. And I think, let me tell you one thing, that we talk about human resource. There is a dedicated department in the government, Human Resource Ministry. So every individual is the resource of the country. And if there is no claimant, states would own the responsibility to cremate, because the last rite out of 16 sanskar, the 16th sanskar is very important, because let me tell you one more thing. Ganga is bhukti and mukti dahini, means whatever worldly pleasure which we enjoy, it is by the grace of Ganga. And after our death, when the rituals are performed, that is last rite is performed, particularly the Agni Sanskar, then only the remains are only just dropped into the river. There is no religious proof that bodies are to be disposed of except sannyasis. So this is actually very unfortunate thing which is happening. And I think people have left hope in the system, whatever we are having now, because everybody is trying, nobody is helping. And what we have been observing, a person who is dying, reaching the cremation ghat, he has to wait for 8 to 10 hours. And by the time he reaches the Smashan Ghat, he is completely exhausted. He doesn't have a penny in his pocket. And if the dead body is a corona patient, they would charge some 35,000 to 40,000. So nobody is ready. Everybody is running out of money. Nobody is having. So what is, and the particularly the stigma which has been placed with the corona disease people. So silently, what villagers are doing after death, they are just simply disposing off into the river.
Yeah.
That is the easiest passage, whatever is being done.
And what is the solution? Well, the UP government has basically said they're going to set up officers to patrol the banks of the Ganga to say that, to prevent anyone from putting the bodies in the river. Pretty much just putting a bandage over this problem. No solution, really. I have Charuvari Khanna joining us. She's an advocate, also a former member of the NCW. So, Charu, the question, of course, that's bound to arise is, these orders from the NHRC, from the centre to the state, is that binding on authorities? It's an interpretation of Article 21. But how does this work on the ground? Now you have the centre saying it's the state's responsibility. Is this the buck being passed around?
The NHRC guidelines are just guidelines. They are only advisory in nature. At the same time, we must understand and appreciate that we're in unprecedented times. So if they are going to issue guidelines, they should also give some doable points because the whole system is so stretched. Like the priest before me has just said, spoken about the Ganga. In India, religion is so much a part of our lives that even the last rites, irrespective of which faith one belongs to, whether Hindu, Muslim, Christian or other, the last rites are very important. But the fact that people are not conducting these last rites, that means that they must be so desperate. Like he said, that they're desperate for money. I mean, the cremation has become so expensive. They don't have livelihoods. Look at the condition that people are in. And I feel the state definitely has a liability. You can't say that we're going to start patrolling the Ganga. The Ganga does not need patrolling. You need to have people placed in rural areas. This problem is happening in the rural areas and the bodies all accumulate where the Ganga bends or where the river bends or where it becomes shallow. That's when the bodies start accumulating. There are some certain points. So I think what is more important is that the state needs to first not be in denial mode. They need to understand and acknowledge that this problem is existing and people in rural areas are disposing of this, their, you know, their near and dear loved ones out of desperation.
Yes.
Not out of callousness, out of desperation.
So
make some system available to them in the rural areas. Set up crematoriums, not patrolling. Those men, you're going to make them stand like policemen on the Ganga. Put them
and
in the
somebody
rural
today's
area.
Paper had a story of a man who drove with his 14-year-old niece's body in an open truck, 30 kilometers, probably paid a lot of money that they do not have. They took a loan for, reached the river only to be told, or reached a cremation ground only to be told that no more cremations being allowed here. So what is he to do? I want to just go across. We're running out of time. I want to bring in Pritam Singh. He works with an NGO that helps people cremating dead bodies, bodies that no one wants to touch. Mr. Singh, aap logo ki antim sanskar kar rahe hain, kyunki koi inke saath nahi, koi ye kaam nahi karna chahte. Kis wajah se parivar wale ye kaam nahi karna chahte?
मैडम, सबसे पहले तो ये है कि इसको कोई काम करना चाहता ही नहीं है. सब ये कहते हैं कि हम अगर बॉडी के पास जाएंगे तो वायरस है जो हमें वायरस इन्फेक्ट करेगा. तो इवन फैमिली के फैमिली और फैमिली नेबर्स कोई भी इसको आना नहीं चाहता इसके बाद. सेकेंडली, कोई भी पुलिस डिपार्टमेंट से, एमसीडी से कोई भी इसको अपने साथ नहीं करना चाहता इस काम को. तो ये बाय ग्रेस ऑफ गॉड, हमारे गुरु साहब ने जो हमें सिखाया है कि जहाँ पे कोई भी मुश्किल में हो, कहीं भी प्रॉब्लम है, तो वहाँ पे हमें एज हमारे एज रिलीजन में सिखाया जाता है कि हम वहाँ जाके खड़े हों, लोगों की हेल्प करें. तो हम वहाँ उसी गुरु के टीचिंग्स को फॉलो करते हुए जहाँ पे भी लोग हैं,
सर,
कुछ भी प्रॉब्लम है,
अगर आपको वॉलंटियर करना था, अगर आपको सेवा करना था, तो बहुत ऑप्शंस है. खाना दे सकते हो, ऑक्सीजन प्रोवाइड कर सकते हो. अगर आपको सेवा ही करना था तो आपने ये क्यों चूज किया?
मैडम, हमें सेवा करना था. देखो, हम डिजास्टर में काम करते हैं, हम ऑल ओवर वर्ल्ड में हैं, हम डिजास्टर में काम करते हैं एज एनजीओ. तो हमें कहीं पे भी, जहां भी लोगों को कुछ भी जरूरत होती है, तो हम वहां पहुंचते हैं. जब हमने देखा कि हमारे पास जो एक इंसिडेंट है लास्ट पैंडमिक में जो 20 में हुआ था, तो उसमें एक लेडी की जो डेड बॉडी थी वो 8 से 10 घंटे अपने घर में पड़े रही. तो उसको क्रिमेट करने के लिए कोई भी नहीं आया, ना नेबर्स आए, ना गांव. जब हमारे पास कॉल आई तो हमने इमीडिएटली उसको अपना एक, हमारी एक इनोवा गाड़ी थी जो हमारे वॉलंटियर्स हैं मंजीत सिंह जी, उन्होंने डोनेट किया हमें ये, और उस गाड़ी में हम इनोवा गाड़ी में लेके उस लेडी को हमने क्रिमेट करवाया. और उसके बाद हमने जो देखा कि जो प्रॉब्लम्स आ रही हैं लोगों की यहाँ पे, कि कोई भी, एक तो एम्बुलेंस इतने चार्जेस कर रहे हैं, कोई अफोर्ड ही नहीं कर पा रहा. अभी कपूर जी ने बताया 30,000 to 40,000 वो ले रहे हैं वहाँ पे, इससे भी ज्यादा लोग चार्ज कर रहे थे. तो एक ह्यूमैनिटी के अंदर आप लोगों को लास्ट राइट भी जो है वो भी एक रिस्पेक्टिवली नहीं दे पा रहे, तो ये तो हमारी गवर्नमेंट टोटल फेलियर है, जो स्टेट गवर्नमेंट्स के काम थे. बट बाय ग्रेस ऑफ गॉड, जो ये सिखिज्म में जो हमें सिखाया जाता है कि पहला मरण कबूल, जीवन की छड़ आस, हो सबना की रेण का, तो आओ हमारे पास. मरने से तो डर लगता नहीं है, अगर ये हमारे, हम इन्फेक्टेड भी हो जाए तो ये भी हमारी खुश नसीबे की ह्यूमैनिटी के लिए हम कुछ काम कर सके.
Mr. Singh, thank you so much. We're all in agreement. I'm sure we thank you for your service. We are out of time. I want to say goodbye by borrowing from what Amit Kapoor wrote in a piece that he dedicated to his uncle. He says we're burying or lighting the pyres of our loved ones in body bags, devoid of the chance to see their faces one last time, the chance to say I love you, the chance to say I care. The pain of someone going without someone saying goodbye is a lifetime of sorrow. Death needs to be dignified. We need our last conversations. The pandemic, he says, will devoid families of that last conversation. That closure will not happen, and then it will be a lifetime of grief. Tonight, as we leave, let's remember that while we must ask for accountability, because that might be really the only correct way to mourn the premature loss of our nearest and dearest, perhaps nothing else matters right now than reaching out to each other, to console, to do what we can help to help everyone heal. Thank you for joining us. Good night.